Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Prime time on Football Friday, 1080 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game. Played nowhere else on earth, it is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
That's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
On 1080 The Fan.
Yes, Rob Chalk, we're underway against UNLV tonight.
You and the Go-Go's, huh?
What do you mean?
UNLV runs it's the Go-Go offense.
Ah.
They've got the, what's the guy's name? Their offensive coordinator. He was at Texas, and he's all the rage. His name's Marion something, or something Marion.
I don't know.
And he's their offensive coordinator because their head coach is that old guy from Missouri.
Barry Odom.
Yeah, but he's the defensive guy. So their offensive guy, who some people think is like the next great thing, he'll be a head coach somewhere. Yeah, he runs the go-go. So he runs shotgun, two back, up tempo, but it's not two fullbacks. He has two running backs, and then does like no tight ends.
And it's often like they may both be on the same side of the quarterback. So you'll be like in the shotgun or pistol, like running back to your left and a running back to the left of him. It's very odd.
Yeah, well, so he's got some weird kind of funky things, and so it's like he runs elements of like the triple option, but out of gun with two backs, and anyway, it's like they were really good on offense since he was been there, and like Sark leaned on him a bunch, and obviously the success they had at Texas, so he's kind of a hot thing in college football.
Well, two fun facts about tonight's games. Kansas UNLV is being played at the MLS Stadium in Kansas City.
Yeah, because they're renovating the Memorial Stadium, right?
That's correct. Yeah. And the other one tonight is Arizona-Kansas State, which is a top 25 matchup. Mm. And Buckley, we were wrong the other day. That is actually a non-conference game.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's what I was wondering. And there have been a couple of these just because of the realignment where teams had games on the schedule that would have been non-con, and now they're conference opponents, but they don't count towards your conference record.
They said someone had one of those just this year. I was listening to a...
Yeah, there's a few of them. Because
Dirt and Sprague were talking about that this morning. They said someone else this year had a non-con game that should have been a conference game.
Well, the reason this is a non-conference game tonight is because Arizona and Kansas State originally scheduled it when they were not in the same league.
Yeah.
And they couldn't find replacement opponents that fast.
Yeah.
So they just kept the game, but then they will not play each other in the conference slate. And it remains a non-conference affair.
But it's still weird to think that you could get to the end of the year and like tiebreakers and conference records and all that. And you could have that. So think about that. Like Arizona wins tonight, but then could lose a conference tiebreaker because they will not have played head-to-head. Because remember.
So they wouldn't.
No.
So, well, but they did play head-to-head.
But they did not.
Because
remember, head-to-head in conference, when you're talking about who plays in a conference championship game, right, the only thing that matters is conference record.
Oh, yeah, somebody pointing out Baylor-Utah.
Baylor-Utah, right? So let's.
Oh, yeah.
So you could literally, you could have it where if it came down to some sort of tiebreaker situation and there was a head-to-head matchup in conference, this one would not count, even though they played head to head.
So what would the next?
Some of these places now, because there's no longer divisions, right? They just take the two best teams. Some of the tiebreakers are really convoluted and can go down to like six and seven different things. So I don't exactly know what the Big 12's tiebreakers are, but a lot of times there will be a head to head component to it. And will have played head to head, but the head to head component will not come into play when it comes to a Big 12 title game.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a pretty good little game tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kansas State, Arizona.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, Oregon State's probably a top three game, and we do get Alabama, Wisconsin.
That's the biggest one.
That'll be fun.
It's kind of a soft.
Yeah, it is.
It's soft week.
But Oregon State probably drawing some interest. And then, I mean, if you care about Boston College, Missouri, that's a top 25 matchup.
Yeah, 24 BC. And Missouri, how about Missouri being sixth?
Yeah, they look pretty good. I'm telling you, that coach is legit down there.
Tulane, Oklahoma, I'll pay a little attention to. Tulane's kind of fun. Other than that, you're right. There's not a lot. There's not a lot. It's pretty soft.
So something is happening in college football that some of us had no idea. Did you see that last night South Alabama beat Northwestern State 87-10?
Yeah, and they did a they chopped some time off of the game.
Yeah.
I didn't know, by the way, that was a thing you could do.
Okay, so you're with me then.
Didn't know.
I think it happened once last year, didn't it?
Well, they're saying that's already happened three times this season.
I was aware of it happening before. I didn't know it had happened this year.
So what happened was South Alabama was beating the brakes off of Northwestern State. The final was 87-10. This was just last night.
Yep.
And it was so bad that the coaches of both teams agreed to shorten the fourth quarter by 6 minutes.
Yes.
So the reason this is a story is because it resulted in only 54 minutes of play.
Which Vegas thinks.
And most sports books make you play, or they require 55 minutes for action to be considered valid. So if you had South Alabama over Northwestern State, you do not win.
No.
Or if you had the over.
The over-under they paid.
Oh, they still pay that.
So, yeah, it says DraftKings house rule state there must be 5 minutes or less of scheduled game time left for bets to have action unless the specific market outcome is already unconditionally determined.
So that last, the over would have already hit.
The last part is crucial as over-under bets on the total, in this case 59.5, can be deemed unconditional. In other words, they would have hit regardless of anything that could have happened in the final minutes of the game. So that was already done. So they paid that. But if you had South Alabama, no win for you.
No.
They also said that this happened in just last week with Georgia and Texas or Tennessee Tech.
Had no idea.
The final score of that game was only 48-3. I mean, it's a nail biter.
Yeah, clearly.
In that case, the coaches and officials decided to shorten the fourth quarter by 5 minutes.
So you can just get together with the other side and arbitrarily come up. But here,
is the first I've heard of.
See,
this.
And that one really surprised. 48-3 isn't that crazy.
No,
if you told
me
it was 70-3, okay, maybe.
But what I don't understand is, I've said this before. Who was Georgia playing? You said Tennessee.
Tennessee Tech.
Tennessee Tech. Yeah. So I think these games should be banned. As I've been on. I've played. These games in college where we play someone, like we beat a team once, like 72-12. Like just, it was so bad. And I felt bad for the other side. And the team stops trying to throw the ball and it doesn't matter. You still run for a touchdown every third play. They shouldn't play those games. They're stupid. But if you are going to play those, I totally get the idea of like, hey, we got our check. You guys got your win, whatever. But if you're going to cut the game by 5 minutes, why not just cut the fourth quarter? Like what? If I'm on the other side, if I'm Northwestern State, I'm like, wait, you're cutting 6 minutes? Why not just cut the whole thing? Let's just call the game. Call it and let me go home.
It just seems arbitrary when they decide to pull the coaches together and say enough is enough.
I wonder if the coaches do it. I wonder if Kirby goes over to him and is like, look, I'm trying to make this as painless as possible. I got four white guys and an Egyptian.
Ask him if he's had enough.
In my backfield right now. So can we? And the guy's like, yeah. But then why only? The time thing is so weird.
So then on August 29th, the other one was August 29th of this year, Arkansas beat Arkansas Pine Bluff 70-0, and they decided to play 10-minute quarters in the second half, which means they only played 50 minutes of football. And it's the same ruling with BetMGM and DraftKings. They did not pay bets.
It's just so. Now, I have heard of running clock. I have heard of that.
Yeah.
Where they just say, hey, in basketball and football, where they're like, dude, we're not. It's just going. Like, I don't care. Guy goes down with a sprained ankle. Dude, you just keep winding that clock. We're going. I have never heard of that ever. And yet, it's happening, you know, multiple times.
In fairness to us, we're not watching these games.
No.
Late, especially when their team's up by 50. But
I didn't see this until last night. People were tweeting about it, and I was like, excuse me?
Didn't even know you could do it. No. All right, coming up next.
Because I was watching the game last night, the Dolphins game, but the Arizona State, Texas State game that we were watching in here during the show, that ended up being a great game.
Yeah.
Sun Devils nicked them.
Go Devils.
Yeah, Kenny Dillingham.
Coming up next, this coach did what? College football audio on The Fan. A lot of big Civil War talk coming up next hour. Joey Harrington will join us. Thomas Hammack is the head coach at Northern Illinois, NIU.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what he did after the game against Notre Dame?
No, I can't say that I did.
Okay, well,
I mean, I saw the. I mean, I guess I didn't see the game live, but
they beat Notre Dame.
They beat Notre Dame.
Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame.
Yes.
And after the game, the head coach of Northern Illinois, Thomas Hammack, offered to help the head coach of Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman, by telling him what he saw on film that he was able to exploit.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool.
Here is Hammack talking about that on The Fan.
I mean, he has taken me up on it, and we've talked on the phone a couple times and exchanged text messages. It was my first time meeting him. Obviously, I have a lot of respect for him as a head coach. I want him to do well, for obvious reasons. And, you know, just because we competed don't mean we can't help each other or try to assist each other to make each other better. You know, sometimes when you become a head coach, you don't have many people you can really rely upon because nobody's going through what you're going through. And I understand, I don't understand what he's going through, but I have an idea of some of the things he's going through. And if I can help him and help him achieve the type of things he want to achieve, that's what it's about, paying it forward. They're never going to play us again, so we will never be a common opponent. And, I want to see him win a national championship. Yeah. He's at a program that can win a national championship.
That's very cool. Plus, the more games they win, if they do make it to the playoff eventually and they do win a national championship, then you can just say we're actually the national champions because we beat the national champion.
Yeah.
Also, no, I want them to win. I want them to win a lot of games.
Yeah, don't sell yourself short. G5 gets a spot in the playoff. You could see Notre Dame again. You don't know.
Yeah. What if you give him all this advice and then he uses it to beat you?
Come on.
Hey, listen. We'll go over that bridge when it happens.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Isn't that it's to me that's very unique, right? Yes. Like that does not happen.
I wouldn't think so.
The coach is like, "Hey, I can help you."
That's pretty cool.
The NIU coach to the Notre Dame coach.
Yeah.
Well, like, I'm not really sure who gets more credit here. The NIU coach seems like a really cool dude. But also, Marcus Freeman accepting that. I mean, because apparently, Freeman called him. Mm-hmm. And they went over stuff that, that he saw on film and why they won the game. Which, I mean, I'm sure Freeman, he coached in the game. Yeah. He knows what went wrong. But at the same time, I just find this fascinating. It's just not something that is ever done. And you know how many red ass coaches would thumb their nose at that idea?
Yeah.
And say, especially the NIU coach to the Notre Dame coach.
I know you just got done beating Big Brother and then little brother's like, "Hey, FYI, we had some tells on you." And, that shows some maturity and some respect. And not to make this weird or anything, but both are black head coaches. And I do know that there is it's a fraternity. When it comes to that. And Deion Sanders and there's a Jay Norvell, despite all their hate, they talked about this last year, is that they, obviously that has been an uphill battle for African Americans to get coaches at any level. And I do think that there is a rising tide lifts all boats sort of thing with those guys. And maybe that plays a role in it too, or maybe they're just both really, really good people. Now, I don't know anything about Thomas Hammack other than what I just saw right there, which is pretty badass. Marcus Freeman seems like a genuine good person.
Yeah.
And seems like good dude. So that's awesome. That's really, really cool. And no, I don't think that happens very, very often, especially that wouldn't happen if he's playing at Pitt and they play Notre Dame, that conversation doesn't happen. Like Dan Lanning's not going to have that conversation with Ryan Day.
Well, no.
No.
But, yeah, in this instance, the coach, he's at NIU. He's like, look, this is our Super Bowl.
Yep.
We won it. Probably never going to see you again.
So here's a little something-something.
You want to know how I kicked your ass?
Because you hear about, like, when, you know, when teams are getting ready to play an air raid team. Absolutely, they will call coaches that they're familiar with that run the air raid. You're running a, you know, Mike McDonald, when he was at Michigan, and even now in Seattle, there's lots of people that will want to, and they go to coaching clinics even in the offseason to kind of pick the brains of coaches. This is kind of a unique thing because it literally is just one coach reaching out to another and being like, hey, man, I saw some things.
Before that game, the MAC was 0-51 against top five teams.
It does not shock me.
Dude, that thing, well, was a stunner.
Yeah, well, when you get to the top five ranking, you normally just have athletes that even during close games, you usually can't overcome athletic gaps. Like with Boise State, and Boise State is not the MAC, but Boise State playing Oregon, Boise State should have won that game, but they couldn't overcome Oregon's athletes. Oregon wasn't better than Boise State. They just had better athletes. And so at the MAC and with a top five team, athletes reign supreme, but not in this one. That's kind of cool, though. You said 1-50, what was it?
Well, they were 0-51.
0-51.
Now, so. 1-51 against top five teams.
Kudos to you, Northern Illinois.
Yeah, we always talk about Maction.
Yeah.
They don't pull off those upsets.
No. Well, it's almost, you just, like I said, you really can't. Like, As much as we want to believe in the scrappy little underdogs, like this happens in basketball, normally in football, even when the young scrappy team is like in there fighting, you just eventually get to the point where you turn around and hand the ball and let your offensive line just plow through. And that's usually something that the smaller team can't do for four quarters. They just wear down.
All right, let's move on to in the news. Would you pay $54?
Yes.
For unlimited Bloody Marys.
Oh, no, I hate Bloody Marys.
Okay, is there a drink that you would pay $54 for?
Yes.
Unlimited.
Yes.
Old fashions, let's go.
Unlimited old fashions, $54?
One. That's pretty good.
100%. And okay, let me tell you what.
I have a retort to that.
If I go to a bar and you have that going on, guess who's winning that exchange? This guy here.
What do you mean?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
All right, nice to have you along. Joey Harrington, in 1 hour, we will preview the Oregon-Oregon State Civil War.
As opposed to the other Civil War. We're going to preview that one?
We're going to preview the new Civil War that's going to happen in the United States.
Do you think the North got a shot this year?
Don't go see that movie, by the way. That thing is a hunk of crap.
All right, it's September 13, 2024. It's time now for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Hello, thank you. Thank you so much. As always, the In the News bit is brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah.
Are you scared?
No, I'm not. I'm not a superstitious man. In fact, I've said many times I want to be haunted, and it's not happening, and quite frankly, it pisses me off.
Did you like the Friday the 13th movie series?
Not really.
No?
Nah. I was more of a Halloween Hellraiser guy. The Friday the 13th movies are so cheesy. They're just, you know.
Power rank the horror series from our childhood. Mm-hmm. So you got Nightmare on Elm Street,
Nightmare on
Hellraiser,
Elm Street.
Friday the 13th, What else did you have? I mean, you could put the Screams in there.
Put the Screams in there. I'm going to go Halloween 1. I always liked the Halloween movies.
Okay.
Michael Myers is my favorite. I'm going to go Hellraiser 2. I love the Hellraiser movies.
Dude, those were pretty freaky.
They scared the hell out of me. I'm going to go Scream. The Scream movies are fun. Then I'm going Nightmare on Elm Street.
Chainsaw Massacre?
Yeah, that's not... Yeah, if you want to throw that in there, because that's...
I do.
You know what? Then I got to bump that. Because Chainsaw Massacre, the original... The subsequent ones are not, but just on the basis of the first one, that's probably number one. The original Texas Chainsaw Massacre is the best horror movie of all time. The ones after that, not so much. So I would say that then moves to one. But that I don't consider that a series. That's a one-off. That thing was...
Well, there were a bunch of them.
I know, but that the original is just... It is a horror masterpiece. And then at the end of those, I'm probably tucking in... Friday the 13th is the end of my... is the end of
so this. Nightmare on Elm Street better or worse than Friday the 13th?
Better. Freddy is a much better villain than Jason.
Freddy freaked me out, man. Yeah.
Freddy was good.
It is also this is just for you, Jason. It is Bald is Beautiful Day.
Oh, there you go. Freshly shorn.
No. There you go. That's for you.
I don't know if it is, but you know, I'm one of those guys that accepts my baldness. I don't bother being bald. But I'm also not one of those guys that's like, man, I love being bald. No, I wish I had kick-ass hair, but it's a little too late for me.
Okay, so I was asking you, would you pay $54 for unlimited Bloody Marys?
Yes, except I hate Bloody Marys, so no.
Yeah, see, that seems like a lot for me because the Bloody Mary...
That sucks.
I'm like a one or two and done on
I'm
the Bloody
zero.
Mary.
I do not understand. And
well, I enjoy a Bloody Mary, but Bloody Mary is not something you suck down five of them. And $54.
No, it's like drinking a meal, and it's tomato. It's super acidic.
Right.
This is gross.
So they have... the reason I asked you that is because there is something called the Bloody Mary Festival going on tomorrow.
I'm aware the BTJ will be there.
Oh, she's going.
She's got friends.
You're not going?
She's got... Oh, God, no. I gotta go... I'm out of town. No. I'm driving. Up north. The BTJ has friends coming into town specifically for this.
Really?
Yes. Makes
okay.
no sense to me.
Well, it's because you don't like Bloody Marys. Oh, I mean, Bloody Marys terrible. Are good, but...
But I wouldn't... I mean, I don't know. A Bloody Mary Fest? Like, I love a White Russian. I don't know if I would go to a White Russian Fest.
What about a Margarita Fest?
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah.
The White Russian is just a White Russian. There's not a lot you can do with a White Russian.
Bite your tongue.
It's not, I mean... It's
the Lebowski Bar in Iceland has 30 different White Russians.
Really?
30.
With what?
Oh, all kinds
like
of stuff.
Like, what's... Give me an example.
There's ones... And I tried to get through all 30. I failed. I felt very disappointed in myself. They have one with banana liqueur and, like, all the different flavors of vodka. There's a strawberry one.
Wow.
They've got mint one. I mean, yeah. There's 30 different White Russians on their menu.
I stand corrected. But the Bloody Mary is a drink you can do a lot of different things with.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of variations of it. But this is going to be at the Red on Salmon, which is an event space on Salmon Street over there in Portland. You pay $54, you get unlimited bloodies, temporary tattoos. I know you like that. Maybe BTJ will have a couple.
Throw a permanent tattoo in there and maybe we're talking.
And you'll have food and beverage tastes from local companies. I know that Screen Door is one of those that will be there.
Ooh, what else? Screen Door makes some delicious stuff.
Pine State Biscuits will be there,
yeah,
Flat Top and Salamander.
Can I skip the crappy Bloody Mary and just eat the delicious offerings?
I'm sure they take your $54 for you to not drink.
Fireside. Yeah, they don't care. You're paying $54. Now, you would pay $54 for unlimited old fashions, you're saying?
If you had an old fashioned or a White Russian fest, you'd get me. Because, I mean, what's an old fashioned most of the time? $14 kind of standard?
Depends on where you are.
Depends on where you're at. But let's go 14. Yeah, I'll go $54.
I mean, $54 worth of any drink seems like kind of a lot, but yeah, that'd be the number.
Because if I'm going to a place and I'm going to be there for a while, and you give me some foods and nibbles, I'm fine. $54, I'm in. I can make that work. I'm still coming out on top.
I'm not really sure how this stuff happens, but a person was rescued Friday morning after his car went over a 50-foot embankment into a river near Savi Island.
It's a big embankment.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary.
According to Portland Fire and Rescue, water and land-based crews responded after reports that a car had gone over the ledge and was submerged in the water. When they got there, one person was already out of the car in shallow water. There was a dog in the car as well, and that dog was uninjured.
Good
the
Lord.
Driver was taken safely to a dock using a recreational tube.
So
nothing, I mean, it's like nothing.
Fine?
It's like, oh, darn it. Can you get my car out of the water for me? I got to get to Costco. You know, it's like, Jesus, could anything more terrifying happen to someone where nothing happened?
It's just all very ho-hum at the end of it.
Yeah. There, I saw a video once on Twitter, and I don't know where they always do the CCTV, videos or whatever. And there was a guy, it was in a European country because they had the European license plate, but he rolled his car. I guess it was like an SUV. He rolled the SUV like three times. And it came to a rest on its tires, and then my man drove off.
He drove out of there.
Yeah, I've seen a similar video.
And like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, the stuff was flying off of the car, and, his car was pretty mushed. But it came to a rest, and then he kind of sits there for about, 10 seconds. And you can tell he's just kind of sitting there and then he drives off.
What do you want him to do?
I don't know. Like, you would think you would get out and maybe, survey.
Take inventory of
you just rolled three times. And you're like, well, let's see. Got to get where I'm going. I got a Bloody Mary fest at 2, so.
Still make my dental cleaning.
Hey, what happened to your car? It seems a little banged up. Yeah, I rolled it three times. When? 10 minutes ago. Don't worry, I still drove it here. I'm fine.
Would you like to see some dope foliage?
Yeah, why not? Now, are we talking about weed, or are we talking about just cool leaves?
Foliage? No. Did I say that right? Foliage? Foliage? Foliage?
I would say foliage, but...
Is it foliage?
That's what I would... I thought,
but okay. You know me. Chances are, whatever I'm saying, it's
That's probably
wrong.
My Kansas accent coming out. Foliage. I don't know.
Got your foliage.
Yeah, so, Travel and Leisure ranked the 22 best places to see fall foliage in the United States.
Yeah.
One area in Oregon.
Hey, look at us.
Incredible views of fall colors and waterfalls. They have put... the Columbia River Gorge on the list.
Oh, it's beautiful. That is a nice
drive. Well, a lot of Oregon is beautiful.
It is, but that's a nice drive, going through the gorge. Yeah, you can't... that's nothing to sneeze at there.
It says, forming the border between Washington and Oregon, the Columbia River Gorge is home to more than 90 waterfalls. They're lovely in summer, but during October and November, the area's rolling green hills and mountains become a symphony of fall colors. Hike or bike your way along the trails to get incredible views and great foliage shots.
Well, I do enjoy fall because who doesn't love fall? I find it weird when people, you're driving to go stare at leaves.
Yeah, a lot of people, it's a big thing for people.
Yeah.
They love it.
I wouldn't do that. Like, hey, what do you want to do? Let's go look at the leaves. I'd be like, no.
Well, I don't mind it. I think it's beautiful, but I would need to drink in order for it to be fun.
Yeah.
Kind of like fishing.
Oh, there you go. I can see that. Yeah. Are we driving to a bar, and then and as we're going there,
you know,
then
maybe some road sodas.
I see.
You drive. I drink. And then I take pictures of.
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
No.
No. That's a no-no.
Maybe I'll walk.
There you go.
I'll hike with my bourbon.
Someone does point out, too, that calling something a White Russian fest might create some confusion. That's a
valid, oh, my God. So true.
It's a valid point. We should.
Yikes.
I don't think you should be going to a white ethnic fest. That's a little rough.
Also named was the Okanagan-Wenatchee National Forest in Washington.
Hey, I got a buddy of mine who has a piece of property up in the Okanagan Highlands.
Ah,
yeah.
Well, top 22 in the country. Top spot, Stowe, Vermont.
I'm gonna have to. Oh, that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of covered bridges, and I would think that Vermont. Someone said Asheville, North Carolina, on the Vancouver Vortex line.
Asheville's on the list.
They said that's a great place for the leaves.
Yeah.
You
gotta love foliage.
It is beautiful. I like when you see the is it the birch trees, the white ones, right?
Yeah, those are birch. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you get the birch trees, like a forest of birch, and then the leaves are like bright red, mm-hmm. it's that to me, there's a one of those dudes who takes the he has the Hawaiian galleries. It's like Peter Lick, like something like that. You see the galleries when you're in Hawaii, Vegas. He has one of those, and I think it's called Rouge. He named it, and it's I've always wanted that photograph. And it's just a white birch forest with like the reddest leaves you've ever seen during fall. It's amazing. That I might drive for. The birch with the colored leaves, oh, love it. And of course, you know, the forest, it's white, so, you know.
What?
It's white. But we throw some color in there, which makes it okay.
Caitlin Clark is white.
We have an otter attack. You know, we were just talking about otters the other day.
Yeah, the otter bit the hell out of somebody in New York, right?
No, this is local.
Oh, we got local otter attack.
I have local otter attack news when we return.
Oh, boy.
This is in the news on The Fan. Yeah, so we were talking. This is in the news, September 13, 2024. It is Friday the 13th.
The news.
We were talking about the Bloody Mary Festival, and now people are just texting in other drink festivals.
Yeah, because we mentioned like a White Russian Festival or the Old Fashioned Festival, the Irish Car Bomb Festival.
The Slippery Nipple Festival.
Some of these we can't even mention.
The Adios MF-er Festival.
What was that? That was a little after my time.
It's a lot like a Long Island iced tea, but it's got blue curacao in it, so it's, you know, a horrible neon color.
God, the Long Island iced tea. Oh, my God.
When I was in college, Taylor's had $2 Long Island iced tea nights. You could go get with a $10 bill and just get wrecked.
If you want to talk about everything that's wrong with American drinking culture, I give you the Long Island iced tea.
Well, that
and for those that don't know, that has everything in it with a splash of, I think,
four liquors, cola, and sweet and sour.
Sweet and sour. That's what
it's like drinking a Mai Tai. It's the same thing. It's just like, how many liquors can we put in one thing?
I'm pretty sure it's vodka, gin, rum, and tequila,
yes,
and then Coke and sweet and sour. You can do it with cranberry juice and call it a Long Beach iced tea, or blue curacao and call it an AMF.
God. You could do the Duck Fart Fest.
Yeah.
Duck Fart, by the way, is delightful. You ever had the old duck fart?
What's a duck fart?
That's the, you got Kahlua, some sort of Irish cream, and whiskey.
See, I don't, this whole White Russian cream thing,
it
doesn't work for me.
You don't like Bailey's?
Bailey's is okay, but only with coffee and maybe one. On a cold day.
Yeah, because it ends up, the duck fart, you get like layers to it, you know. It's,
oh, yeah.
Separates you.
I always hated that when people ordered the layered shots.
Yeah, so you do the Kahlua and then the cream and then the whiskey usually sits on top.
Oh, as a bartender, that's got to be the worst, right?
Oh, it was the worst. But people loved it. Oh,
the novelty of it.
Yeah.
They're delightful. I'm surprised that's not a thing. Maybe it is down at Duck Tailgates. You would think that the duck fart would be a popular...
that's a good question. What is the most popular drink at the Duck Tailgates,
beer.
Yeah, just light beer.
I know, but
probably.
What beer? What's hot?
Well, Oregon is a Coors Light school, but...
I don't know.
You really think Coors Light's like the in Oregon, where we have all these great craft beers? You don't
Stuff gets... But in mass, it's hard to take down 12 IPAs. It's not hard to take down 12 Coors.
I will say that I go down to one or two Duck games a year, and we always tailgate down there. And as I walk around, I would say that the most handed beer, people just give you beers when I walk, like, it's usually a Coors Light.
That's kind of what I feel too.
Yeah, it's usually a Coors. I would say that, and they get different people to do more, you know, fancy tailgates. You'll get, you know, other stuff, but I feel like almost every tailgate you go to is going to have Coors Light. I think that's probably the most represented.
What's the most represented cocktail at a tailgate?
The way, also this one too,
probably a Bloody.
I see a ton of Modelo now wherever you go.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
In fact, I think Modelo now has replaced Bud Light as the number one beer in America. Modelos are everywhere.
I think it passed Corona, too, in terms
of... See a lot of Tecate in the cans,
the red
cans.
It should be pub beer, is what it should
That's
be.
Right.
Cheap fun,
but... I see that around.
I've got otter news, guys. A child was left with minor injuries after being attacked by a river otter in Kitsap County.
Oh, boy.
What
is with the otters lately?
Yeah,
the otters are getting pretty uppity. You know, is it because the people of Springfield are eating them? Is that what's happening? And the otters are having enough of this?
Well, you know what they're doing in Springfield now, right? You see the new thing?
What are they doing?
They're stealing geese.
Oh, so we moved on from the pets. Is that better or worse? I think it's better, right?
Probably better.
What about some pigeons? Can we go down to the... They're eating the seagulls!
What was I telling you? Oh, yeah. This was at the Bremerton Marina Dock, 9:30 a.m. yesterday. An otter pulled the child into the water.
Oh, man, this otter's metal.
Officials said the mother lifted the child from the water when they resurfaced a few moments later, but the otter bit the child's arm, She suffered scratches and bites to the top of her head, face, and legs.
Oh my gosh, I didn't.
Was the otter going to eat the kid? What, like, what's happening? This otter going
to
do?
Look, I'm not going to lie. If an otter wants to pull me into its enclosure,
you're going exploring, aren't you?
I'm going exploring,
yeah.
It's my dream for an otter to put, like take me by the hand.
How old did it say the kid was? Did it?
Because,
like, how big is this kid that an otter can just yank it into the river?
Yeah, I know. Like,
they have tiny little arms.
Little tiny kid, I'm sure. But it says the mother claims that the otter continued to follow her and her family as they left the marina, like running down the freeway.
Well, maybe the otter was like, maybe the otter wanted to hang out.
Or maybe the kid was close to the otter pups and mama wasn't having it.
That's like my dream of dreams, though. Just like hanging out and an otter takes me by the paw and is like, hey, we're going in together. Let's take a dip. Yeah, you may get bit once or twice, but I say let's do this.
Now, the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife called on the U.S. Department of Agricultural Wildlife Services to trap and lethally remove river otters from the marina.
Get out of here. Seriously?
Yeah. Officials said the creatures will be tested at the Washington Animal Disease Diagnostic Lab.
Oh, my God. Get bent. So one otter decides to have a play date with a kid, and now we got to, like, kill all the otters? What are we
apparently
doing?
Apparently so, yes.
And now they called for it. Are they going to do it?
It doesn't say.
We're just going to have otter euthanasia? That's what we're doing? Can't do this.
This says in Washington, officials have said that there have been 6 recorded human river otter incidents in the past 10 years. That's not enough to kill the otters, in my opinion.
No. I just, it bothers me. Again, you're in the otter territory. You're at the, like, they where are, would you like the otter to go?
They are very territorial. And they are unpredictable, but...
Isn't that what makes otters great, is that they are unpredictable? I just don't like... I feel like there's a lot of anti-otter sentiment going on right now, and I'm not happy about it. I don't like it.
Well, maybe you should write a sternly worded letter.
I think I'm going to. We need to start a positive otter PR campaign. Because right now, the PR for the otter is not very high, and we need to change that.
You got to get with the Oregon Zoo, man.
Seriously.
They have some good otter pub out there.
Exactly. The otters there are adorable. Like some of the cutest animals going in the game.
And they're right by the seals, which are also adorable.
Exactly. And look, I'm going to say this right now. The otter is the hardest working sea marmot in the game. Find me one of those little furry bastards that's cruised around the water that's doing more than the otter.
It's a very solid utility player.
How do you know that?
My call.
Like, what do you base that off of?
That the otters kick ass. What else we got? What else you got in there?
Well, you got the seal.
You got the
sea
seal.
Lion.
You got the beaver. You got the nutria. You got all, like, I'll take the otter over
the
all
beaver.
Of them.
Does the beaver count?
Yeah, the beaver counts.
Yeah.
The beavers are working their ass off. They're building, like, little dams and
but
stuff.
The platypus.
The platy?
The platy would be in there.
Don't forget about the, what's the big one? What are the big ones?
That's the nutria, right?
No, I'm talking about
the kappa. Is
the sea lion?
Oh, the sea lion?
Oh, yeah, the sea lion.
The walrus?
Yeah, the walrus. Lion. That's what I'm thinking of.
What's the walrus? Walruses aren't doing anything cool.
Do we include the manatee?
The otter. Have you seen the little otter? They play basketball. They use rocks to crack open shells.
They hold hands when
they
go to
hold
sleep.
Hands. They self-pleasure themselves as they float by you at the zoo.
The holding hands thing, I find... You know, of all the facts that have come out on the show this week, that is the most delightful damn fact I've heard in
years.
Put it right there with Bon Jovi saving that woman and have a great week.
Yeah, that's right. I want you to think about two things as we leave the program tonight. One, go watch the John Bon Jovi video where he talks a woman off the ledge. Amazing. And then watch them hug. It might even make you cry.
Yeah.
And two, think about otters when they sleep. They hold little otter hands so that they don't float away from each other.
Bingo.
Come on.
Hardest working marmot in the game.
Now try not to have a bad... Now try to have a bad weekend, is what I meant.
Be in a positive space.
In
don't
the news,
even think about eliminating them from the population.
No.
It's brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. That is in the news September 13th. 2024. The Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next, and then we'll check in on the vibe in Corvallis next hour on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.